So, our scripture reading, that gives us context to the Isaiah passage of 58, where we shout, where Isaiah is saying, "Shout out to the Lord, lift up your voice like a triumph, announce to the people their rebellion, the house of Jacob, their sins. Yet the day of the Lord we seek and delight in the ways, as if there was a nation that practiced righteousness, judgments. They delight to draw near to God." And they say, "Why do we fast? Look and serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all those workers. For you only fast and to quarrel and fight, and to strike with the wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today, you will make your voice heard on high. And such the fast that I choose, a day of humble yourself. It is to bow down your head like blurish and to lie in sackcloth and ashes. Will you not this the fast that I choose, the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke and the oppressed to go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house when you seek the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your right hand shall break forth and the dawn and your healing shall spring quickly and the Vindicator shall be before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'I am here.'" The fasting of the Lord, or the people of Israel. And then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come to proclaim the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak of God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God declared before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, 'What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches truly human except the human spirit that is within. So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God." The Word of God. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would calm our spirits, that you would open our ears and our minds and our hearts to the message that you have for us today, that you would prepare us, that if there is anything that is keeping us from being present and hearing your truth, that you would cast that away, that you would ground us in this moment more fully. Amen. Voices, they're all around us. Now, I know that may sound a bit creepy that your guest pastor is saying there's voices all around us. Like, what kind of voice is she hearing, or voices? But I'll explain a little bit more. We hear voices from different forms of media, right? They're telling us what to buy, what to believe, what's happening in the world, and what's not happening in the world. We have signs that voice direction, caution, and sometimes those inspirational quotes we hang up in our houses. We even have those little voices in our heads that sometimes tell us that we're not good enough, that maybe we shouldn't be doing something, or maybe it gives us encouragement to do something greater. Voices guide us and sometimes misguide us. In both our scripture readings today, God provides a voice to instruct, to help form, to help remind, a voice to reveal God's will and mission for us as God's people. Our Old Testament passage this morning brings us to Isaiah, a prophetic voice appointed by God to help guide the Israelites. He called upon to correct, encourage, inspire hope. He was a guide and a reminder to the exiled people that God desired his people to do justice, to love kindness, and to have a relationship, to walk humbly with him. I don't know if you remember that verse from maybe last week, if Pastor Barlow read that from Micah. Yet, these three things, to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God, seems to be a constant struggle for God's people. Not only the Israelites, but honestly, I think that we wrestle with that today as well. But in this passage in Isaiah, the contention seems to be fasting. Isaiah gathers the people together to clarify proper fasting, and it is not rejecting the practice of a fasting prayer. Jesus fasted, but calling to attention what the ritual had become. Mechanized fasting was meant to be a response of repentance and to seek favor with God. Yet, in their fasting, they were adding oppression to others, fighting and disregarding those in need. The prayer became a ritual that lost its transformative power because the people lost sight of the meaning and the purpose of the prayer, as well as how we are to treat each other. But God provided a voice to bring them back, a guide through Isaiah to remind them you, but also a reminder of hope that God is with them. Now, the Apostle Paul in our Old Testament reading used his voice to point to another's voice, another one appointed by God. His own fear, his own awkwardness and trembling, his lack of flashy speech. He degenerates his own importance not only to lift up the risen Christ, which is solid here in our scripture, but also to point to the power of the Spirit. He explains that faith is not by our own power, but it is grounded in God's power. No human wisdom, no performance, no status associated with sophisticated speech, but ultimately through the Holy Spirit provided by God. We would not have a clue as to the shape or the grandeur of God's purposes. We would not know what God has prepared for us, yet we tend to tune that voice out in the midst of so many other voices. Or we don't recognize the voice because we have not spent as much time with it. We live in a noisy culture, a busy culture, but if we are to be God's church, If we are to grow in relationship with God, if we are to reach out and care for those that are vulnerable, oppressed, the poor, it is imperative that not only do we seek, hear, and follow the Spirit's voice. So how do we tune into the Spirit? How do we hear the voice above the other? In order to listen to the Spirit, we need to practice solitude and silence. I know that's kind of worrisome, right? Solitude and silence. Although some of you may be part of your own practice. Within the busyness of our weeks, finding time for solitude and silence can be challenging. To create time and space to just be and to listen may seem a harder challenge to some, especially those of us with busy minds. I know this is harder for me. After having 4 kids, I appreciate having quiet time. Yet I have discovered my mind likes to race, although my body is still. And they just come and go randomly, consistently. It can be hard to free our minds from the distractions to be present and silent. Silence can be uncomfortable too. And there's that kind of awkward silence. We come up with something to fill it, right? It can feel awkward to sit in silence. But trying to hear the Spirit Cafe. I know you think that you are too when music is playing loud, you can strain to hear your friend's voice. You recognize their voice, but it takes work. And it's only when the outside noise around us gets pushed aside that we can truly hear the voice we're trying to hear. When the distractions stop and are taken away, the noise is quieted and we're able to hear the Spirit clearly. Taking time to listen is essential to our spiritual journey. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God to be our companion, that source of strength and wisdom. And as I said before, the Holy Spirit is our guide on the spiritual journey. And I know you all are in the Vital congregations. You all are going to need to be in the Spirit, right? They call upon the congregation to be in the Spirit, to seek guidance from the Spirit. The Spirit counters those fears that shut down us doing that missional calling, those thoughts and worries of being persecuted, standing out, causing offense, or not having the right answers to those tricky questions we're afraid we might be asked. Though awkward, remember Paul himself, like I said before, he spoke his awkwardness, his fear and trembling, but he pointed to the Spirit of God, as a one who took all those worldly weaknesses and helped spread the faith, saved lives through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in silence and solitude that we begin to explore that the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, what being a servant in our particular situations, we are very unique, what that looks like for us. Michael Frost, he's an author of a book called Surprise the World, 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. And this is what he says. When engaging with my neighbors, this is our outreach, I must open my heart to the Holy Spirit in order to separate truth from untruth, fiction from knowledge, the honorable from the dishonorable. We need the Spirit's discernment. The Spirit will help us resist. A quiet heart is our best preparation for all the work of God. Now here I'm going to share with you I would not be doing my job if I did not give you some practical things to try out to hear the Spirit's voice. Again, trusting that maybe some of you have done this, but maybe you'll find a new bit of wisdom or truth or something you would like to learn or explore with. So to create a time and space. So set a time in the week, one day this week is my challenge, that works best for you. If you are a morning person, set a time in the morning. If you are a night owl, make it in the middle of the night or at that hour that you would be most alert. Plan a time that you can have a date with God. Because I don't know about you, if it doesn't make it on the calendar, it falls off the plate in our busyness. But when we have important things, we make sure they get on our calendar. Why don't we put time of solitude or date with God or meet in the Spirit, whatever phrase you want, on your calendar? And then here's the thing that they suggest. Eliminate distractions. This is, like I said, a tough one for me, especially in a busy house. But take away the things that stimulate your senses, so touch, smell, taste, and sound. Examples, so don't have any music, ticking clocks, voices in the background, a gentle breeze, or the inspirational book of quotes that's on your table that you're like, I wonder what might be in there waiting for me. The quieter the surrounding, the better. Maybe trying to focus on something might help you if you're having trouble, like an open Bible book. Even walking a labyrinth, which we don't have too many of those around here, but there are. Find a labyrinth for a walk. Although I would encourage you to first try to calm your body without any other distractions. First, because a labyrinth you're moving. Sometimes our walking can be distracting. So eliminate as many stimulants as possible. Find a position that's comfortable, a posture that is helpful for other. I like to have my hands out as a gesture of I'm open to receive. When distractions are eliminated to the best of our ability, try a centering prayer to invite God in. Now, this prayer isn't one that is one to ask a question or telling the Holy Spirit, but more as I am present, I am here. Because when we ask our questions, that becomes a distraction. Because it's no longer us listening to what the Holy Spirit has to tell us. It's us listening to what we want to hear the Holy Spirit tell us, right? So start with meditation. Simply start enjoying God's presence. When practicing silence, sometimes discouragement and unworthiness. Satan likes to do that, cause those distractions, because there's nothing more than he dislikes than us trying to get into a closer relationship with our Creator. But when those thoughts come in, like I'm too distracted, I can't do this, and all this discouragement that comes in, I encourage you to remember the words of our pardon after our confession, you know, from all the different pardons that we have after our confession every week, from everlasting, the mercies of the Lord are upon us. Know in Christ Jesus that you are, hold on to that truth. We are not perfect, but we are perfectly loved by a perfect God. You can also use a word or a phrase to help you center. Get away with that, and I say it like 101 times in 1 minute. But there's something about that. Be still and know that I am God. But you may have a different phrase, a scripture, a liturgy. Maybe your word is let go, surrender. When trying to center and cast out distractions, I will confess I have a notepad next to me, usually sticky notes. And when one of those thoughts of, I need to remember to ask Susan for a measuring cup, I write that down and put it away and come back, because that's how my brain works. It's a discipline. It takes work and time. First time I did it, I had two sticky notes filled with little print of some of the most random things that had nothing to do with that time. Satan likes to come in, distract us from trying to hear the voice of the Spirit. Phil Fox Rose suggests that during the time of centering, he says, resist no thought, retain no thought, react to no thought. In centering prayer, we let thoughts open and we don't engage thoughts. That's why I have my sticky notes, because I can put them away. Your centering may not start with words. It may be your body. It may be breathing techniques. It may be a sense of feeling your feet planted and then imagining everything from your feet on up. Going on up, that I'm quiet, I'm calm, I'm here. There's an app for everything, and there's an application that you can on your phone that's Pray As You Go, and they have a guide to breathing as centering prayer. They also have some really good prayers and Lexio Divino and stuff as well. The goal is to come open and listen. And as I think of all the different ways of praying, I love the different ways of praying, praying in color, writing prayers. There are so many different prayers that are very exciting. But as I think of all these different prayers, I am encouraged, and I appreciate Michael Frost's comment about listening in this. He said, listening to the Holy Spirit can become a source of comfort, a source of peace, a source of answers to present problems. Listening to God can be one of the highest forms of prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but that always conversation, isn't it? We do a lot of talking, but we also need to do the listening. So, you may or may not already have a challenge to have time with the Spirit in this, but this is mine for you. It's to take 20 minutes, more if you want, at least once a week, for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. And spend time in the presence, listening for the voice of the Spirit. Now, it may not be our church at Puyallup First Pres, and some people had very different experiences. Some said, this is what I felt, and I'm not sure I liked it. Others said, this is what happened to me. I was in that moment, I was needing to call that person and check in on them. Some people felt nothing. It's a discipline. It doesn't happen like that. But I encourage you to try, because you might get some insight in what God is calling you to do, an opportunity that's waiting for you. Because see, when you start recognizing the Spirit's voice and the Spirit's prompting, it helps us to adjust to situations that don't compromise our values when we're out doing outreach. Yet it opens up opportunities that God lays before us to connect with people genuinely and share Christ's love, the promise of our risen Lord, with others. The better we get at hearing the Spirit's voice, the more we will start where the music isn't as loud as the voice. Friends, without the Spirit's guidance, we lose sight of God's mission. We start seeing people as projects instead of building relationships. Our motives become our own. Priorities get out of balance. And we miss some enriching opportunities as people of God. Just like our friends the Israelites, the ritual wasn't what did it. They lost sight of the voice of God. So God gave him a voice in Isaiah. And through the weakness is of Paul, who I never thought him as weak. I've always thought him as a little cocky. But a prophetic word in the midst of all his letters. God used him through his Holy Spirit. God's voice is what we seek. So mark your calendars. Plan a time to create space to enjoy the presence of God and listen to the Spirit's voice for guidance and hope. And see what amazing things will happen when we hear that voice. Amen.